The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Read a word from the Lord. Again, we thank God for all of our guests, for all of our visitors, but remember, we treat all of our guests and our visitors like friends and our friends like family, and we say that because it's just good to be in the family of God. Amen. It's just good to be in the family, regardless of denomination, regardless of where you may have a whole church, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. There is joy, unspeakable joy. Amen. We serve one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The scripture is going to come from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, as the Lord has been working on me and working through me in our series. We're going to continue in our offering on today. Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. We got to be intentional about living alive. Amen. The Bible says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. We're going to have to speak life. And we're going to speak life in this house. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 9. I'll be reading this morning from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. It says, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." But here it is, verse 9. Paul says, "Make every effort to come to me soon." Paul is writing this letter, and this sliver jumped out at me in verse 9. He says, "Make every effort to come to me soon." So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider a subject that not a whole lot of people want to talk about, but we're going to have to deal with it today. We're going to talk about some biblical principles for how to overcome loneliness. Biblical principles for how to overcome loneliness. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Now, remember, this is biblical training. Just like anything else, some training is going to take some effort. It's going to take some commitment from you. So I got to ask, as we continue in this, who's in for the continued training? Come on, somebody. Who's in for the continued training? Because this, you know, just because you went to the gym on last week don't mean you're going this week if you're tired. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I know who's in for the training. And remember, I don't want you saying I'm in if you're not in. It's all right. This is free will house. Amen. But if you're in, I need to know who's in. Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Let me start out by saying that being alone is not the same as being lonely. There's nothing wrong with being alone if you are comfortable with being alone. However, people usually describe feeling lonely for one of two reasons. They either simply don't see or talk to anyone very often, or even though they are surrounded by people, they don't feel understood or cared for. Lord, help me to stand tall. It's been argued from both sides as to whether loneliness is a mental issue, but the two have been shown to be strongly linked. For having any sort or any type of mental issue can increase your chances of feeling lonely. And feeling lonely can have a negative impact on your mental and even your physical health. It's been estimated that nearly one quarter or 25% of the American population. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, currently the American population stands approximately around 329 million. So if you do the math roughly, that's roughly a little higher than 82,000 people. Or let me keep it simple. One out of every four. So if you start counting, one, two, three, four. One out of every four persons feels extremely lonely at some time or another during any given month. Loneliness. Loneliness has been defined or described as this way. It is the painful awareness that we lack close and meaningful contact with others. Amen. It involves a feeling of inner emptiness, isolation, and intense longing. Even when they are surrounded by others, lonely people often feel left out, unwanted, rejected, or misunderstood. There may be an intense desire to reach out, but often the lonely person feels frustrated and unable to initiate, continue, or experience a close relationship. Some have said that loneliness is one of the most miserable feelings that a person can have. For when you are lonely, you may feel that nobody loves you. You may feel that nobody cares. I don't know who I'm talking to, but loneliness can make you feel that nobody even cares if you exist. Fact of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, you can be in a church full of folk and still feel lonely. How do I know? Because you don't have to be alone to feel lonely. You can feel lonely in a crowd. And it's not even the number of people that are around you that determines your loneliness. It's actually the relationship that you have with them. Can you be wealthy and still feel lonely? Yes. Can you be popular and still feel lonely? Yes. Can you be beautiful or even handsome and still be lonely? The answer is yes. Can you be married or in a relationship, come on somebody, and still feel lonely? Yes, that can happen too. Just ask anybody who has gotten hooked up or gotten married because they were lonely, only to find themselves broken up or divorced in a few years. Why? Because they are still lonely. Fact of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, everybody, including Christians, experience loneliness at one time or another. And so as the Holy Spirit has put this on my heart to talk about as part of our summer series, we're going to talk about it not so much from a clinical perspective, but from a spiritual one. We're going to share some distinct causes and some biblically principled steps for overcoming loneliness. Yes, there are times when we bring loneliness on ourselves, but then there are some other times when situations or circumstances are unavoidable and uncontrollable. That's what the condition the Apostle Paul found himself in when he wrote this second letter to Timothy. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Paul was a dying man. He was up in age, and he was writing from a prison in Rome. He was writing to his good friend, Timothy, and he urged Timothy to visit him. Why? Because he was alone and quite possibly feeling lonely. I'm talking to somebody. From our text, we want to show or highlight some, first of all, some basic causes of loneliness. And the first cause that I want to find from this text here is called the transition of life, or just transition. Life is full of transitions or changes. Growing older. I didn't say growing old. I didn't say getting old. I said growing older is a series of changes, and with each change can produce loneliness. When you were conceived inside of your mother's womb, there was warmth inside there. You could hear the heartbeat of your mother every minute of every day. But guess what? Then you were born. You came out and you came into a different world. You came into a different environment. And there were times when you were laid in your crib and no one was touching you or holding you. You'd be by yourself with no one seemingly around, although you probably weren't more than an earshot or a baby monitor away from your mother. But the thing is, you can get used to that. But then you grow old and your parents take you to a strange place called school. And they leave you there with a bunch of strangers. Some of the people are adults, but many of them are the same size as you, the same age as you. And this is frightening at first, but then you get used to it. But then the day comes when you graduate. So what next? More school, a new job, marriage, family, changes, changes, changes. Then as you get older, as the Lord allows you to get older, then there's things like retirement to think about. Failing health, death of loved ones and friends, the thought of dying yourself. Changes, changes, changes. Life is one transition after another. And many of those transitions can be lonely. Paul knew and Paul knows about the change of life. He knows about transitions, for in the text, Keeling, he's nearing the final transition of his life. Keep your Bibles open. He knows that his time is short and he might be feeling a bit lonely. So in verse 6, he says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering and the time has come for my departure. Then as Paul is spending his last days alone, he says in verses 7 and 8, he says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Here's what gets me about that verse. That verse is often read at funerals. Am I right about it? But what's amazing to me is Paul's not dead. Come on, somebody. Paul's not dead when he says this. However, death is a transition. I'm talking to somebody. Teach, Holy Ghost. You see, the first cause of loneliness can simply be the transitions of life. Transitions between the seasons of life. I'm talking about those transitional times when you have left one reality to start another. That often brings seasons of loneliness. For anybody that's been married for a long time, when your spouse dies, you have gone from not ever being single for a long time to now being single again. That can bring on a season of loneliness. Amen. Moving or transferring to a new school. Listen, we're going to have to start being more sensitive to our children when they actually promote and have to go from elementary to middle school. That can be torturous. From middle school to high school, that is a transition, amen, and it can cause loneliness. Moving to a new home, a neighborhood, etc. Starting or finishing college can be lonely. Not everybody's excited about graduating. That's the end of one reality and the start of another, because now you got some decisions to make, amen. I talked about divorce, the death of loved ones. All of that can cause loneliness. Any new experience that we might have to deal with can be frightening and can cause any of us to feel lonely. But a second cause of loneliness found in the text is separation. Separation happens when you feel isolated, apart from your friends, apart from your family, apart from those people who you know, apart from people you love. For some folk, being at work is isolation. Being at school is isolation or separation. Hospital stays. Listen, being in a nursing home facility, whether you have to be there for rehab, come on somebody, or be there as a permanent resident, that can be a time of loneliness. Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, drop down to verse 9, he says, make every effort to come to me soon. In other words, Paul, the great apostle Paul, is saying, I'm feeling a bit lonely, and I really would like to see you soon. If you peek down at verse 11, it wasn't in the passage we read, but it's in your Bible. If you peek down at verse 11 in the passage, Paul, the Bible says he only had Luke who was with him, but you got to know that Luke was busy doing the work of the ministry. Demas had deserted him. Demas had fallen in love with the world. You know anybody like that? Come on, somebody. Crescens was on missions work, having gone to Galatia. Titus had gone to Dalmatia. So Paul wants Timothy to come quickly and to bring Mark with him. Today we got Skype, we got email, text, FaceTime, hang out on Google, etc. We can get on a train or a plane and travel thousands of miles to connect with people in a few hours. In Paul's days, that would have taken months. That's why you got to keep it in context. He didn't have the luxury of modern technology. He couldn't talk or text to Timothy, amen, and he was separated from his friends, and he longed to see and hear the voice of a friend. That's why every now and then, you're going to have to pick up a phone. Care who the person is. In this text, it's the Apostle Paul, who was feeling lonely. Twice he asked Timothy in verse 9 and 13. He says, come see me. Time is running out, and he really wants to see Timothy and Mark and enjoy their companionship. But another one here, Clark, that the Lord showed me was a cause of loneliness. Again, right from the text, is opposition. Further down in 2 Timothy, that's why I said keep your Bible open. This is a Bible preaching church. Come on, somebody. Further down in 2 Timothy, we found in verses 14 and 15, the text says, Alexander the coppersmith did much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. Now, I'm careful not to get lost in the weeds on scripture. So we don't know exactly what Alexander had done. There's no sense in me even sitting here trying to tell y'all what he did. But the one thing we know for sure is that he opposed the preaching of the gospel. For whatever reason, he did not want the gospel preached. How did he oppose him? I don't know. We're not sure. Maybe he slandered Paul's name. Maybe he attacked his reputation. Maybe he was saying that the gospel was false teaching. I don't know. Maybe he was turning people against Paul. Have you been there? But here's what we do know. What we do know from the text is that he vigorously opposed Paul and his teaching. In other words, they were on opposite sides. Have you ever been on opposite sides? Uh-oh. With somebody? Have you ever felt alone because of opposition, especially if it was more than one person that was against you, if it was a whole group of folk who turned on you, whether it was at home, whether it was at work, or even at church? Folk, watch this, folk unfriending you, come on somebody, or even blocking you on social media. It's lonely feeling misunderstood, especially when you feel like someone doesn't like you. When this happens, the temptation is for a whole lot of folk is to draw yourself into a shell and you start building up walls. But here's the problem with that. The problem is doing that only makes you lonelier. Here's something else I saw in the text. This is what the Holy Spirit has been working on me with, Mr. Loretta. As I see rejection. Teach, Holy Ghost. The fourth basic cause of loneliness is probably the most serious one because it's the one that causes the most pain. It's the loneliness of rejection. It's when you feel as though you have been isolated. Watch this. You've been isolated by the ones who should stand by your side. You've been betrayed. You've been forsaken. You've been abandoned. In your greatest time of need, no one, not even your closest friend or relative, stood by your side. Where do I see that at? It's in the text, verse 16. Verse 16 of the text, again, I'm reading from the NASB. Paul says, when he felt deserted, he says, at my first defense, he says, no one supported me, but all deserted me. You could almost hear the pain in Paul's voice. In other words, he's saying, when things got tough, everybody left me. When the trial was just getting warmed up, nobody was there. Nobody spoke up in support of Paul. Everybody copped out. Rejection is one of the most difficult things for a human being to handle. The thing is, we've talked about a lot of those things, and you best believe those same things, those same causes that affect anybody, affect the same folk that come to church. The question is, what are we doing to help them? What are we doing to address it? What are we speaking to those types of things? Everybody is not happy-go-lucky. Some of us or some folk got some issues, got some stuff, and I didn't come to church to play. I come to church to hear about my promise. I come to church to stand on a proclamation. So when we highlight those things, so the question is, preacher, how can I overcome? How can you help me to deal with you? You've called me out in some causes. I get it. You know, folk don't like to be called out. Folk don't like to be convicted. They like to be coddled. But coddling is not going to cut you like the word of God. And if you want some wounds to be opened up when you have surgery, he's going to have to get out a knife and he's going to have to cut and dig some stuff out. Tell your neighbor, tell them, neighbor, can't put a Band-Aid on everything. So we're going to move to some biblical principles for dealing with overcoming or dealing with loneliness. Now, we can all agree, let's just all agree, that there are some good ways and some bad ways, to deal with loneliness. One bad way is alcoholics. Amen. Becoming an alcoholic ain't gonna help you with your loneliness. Amen. I don't care how many friends you find at the bottom of the bottle, it's not gonna help you with your loneliness. But here's one. You got the alcoholic. That's obvious. That goes without saying. But what about the workaholic? Spend all your time and energy working and working and working. Get up early in the morning. You work all day until you finally just flop in bed exhausted every night. But you need to understand that eventually even that will take its toll on you physically, mentally, and emotionally. You got some folk, they try materialism. They just buy everything they can and can everything they see. If I can just get enough things around me, I'll be happy. You buy, you accumulate all those things, all that stuff that you think, and then you say, if I can just get this, I'm good now, until you're not good anymore because something else just went on sale. But you're never going to be good because things don't and won't satisfy you. Listen, it's a routine question. It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer it. But if you were put on an island and told you can have anything you want except human contact, how long do you think you'd be happy? Now, some of y'all saying, I'd be happy forever. You got problems. I don't need nobody around me. You need prayer. You really do. I mean, if God said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone, and he ain't just talking about relationship, he's just talking about human contact. Adam couldn't be walking around all day long with them animals. Come on now. You need some human contact. Amen. It wouldn't be for very long. Amen. But you can't purchase, watch this, you can't purchase happiness that includes you even in your relationships. The most devastating form of punishment is solitary. It's solitary confinement. And it's solitary confinement even in a penal system. Why? Because people need people. They really do. We need interaction. And for some folk, even to a fault, you need acceptance and love. You got some folk, they turn to drugs, whether prescription or street. Come on, somebody. Still others lose themselves in fantasy world. There are so many folk getting so lost in social media. It's sad. Folk getting lost in playing video games or watching a whole lot of TV. Some people actually do nothing, and they sit around and they have pity parties. But here's what I want to show you, is Paul did a few things to combat or overcome his loneliness, and they are what they call appropriate things even for today. These concepts are, I want you to write them down. I believe they're going to show them up here. There are three concepts. They're recognize, maximize, and glorify. You're going to have to recognize, maximize, and glorify. I'm going to get that from the text. But I want you to do me a favor because y'all been sitting too long. I want you to stand to your feet. It's going to be a little break. Stand to your feet if you're physically able. Yeah, go ahead, stretch out your knees. I know, y'all been sitting too long. Some of y'all got to shake off the sleep bug. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to read a verse where we're going to get those concepts from. This is in verse 17 in the text. I want us to read it together, however, all right? So it's from the NASB. Should be up on your screen. All together, go. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me, the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Wait a minute. We just read it. I don't need to read it again, but y'all just read it. Y'all need to be asking, Pastor King, how are we going to get recognized, maximized, and glorified from that verse? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit teach. Recognize. First thing is recognize. You need to recognize, I'm talking to somebody, recognize that God is there. Recognize that God is there. The first way to deal with your loneliness, I didn't say you needed to get more friends on Facebook. I didn't say you needed to join larger churches. I said you just need to recognize that wherever you are, recognize that God is there. Paul said, the Lord stood with me. Amen. Where is God when you're lonely? He's right there. Jesus said in John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. He says, I will come to you. Hebrews 13 and 5, the NASB again, God said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. For somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I need to speak in your spirit right now. There is no place where God is not. That's why he's omnipresent. Amen. There is no place where God is not. He is everywhere at the same time. And you can constantly talk to and with God. As long as you understand that, I didn't say you wouldn't feel alone, but you can start working on it. But I can tell you, you'll never be alone. Amen. Prayer is a fantastic tool that you can use in lonely times. Talk to God. Talk to God and let God talk to you. Second thing I want to show you from that verse, not only do you need to recognize that God is there, but you need to maximize God's strength. Maximize God's strength. Watch the text again in verse 17. Paul said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished." The second way to deal with your loneliness is to rely on God's strength. You can't hold up yourself. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. Rely on God's strength to make it through whatever it is you're going through. I need to speak this to somebody, whoever I'm talking to. You need to know God is stronger than your loneliness. He's more powerful than your problems, and you can approach your problems with God's power. The thing I want you to see from the text, however, is that Paul didn't just sit around doing nothing. Even though he was in prison, he wrote, he studied, he maximized and utilized his time. Listen, loneliness has a tendency to paralyze people. Has a tendency to shut folk down. They don't feel like, don't want to do anything, but not Paul. Matter of fact, he took advantage of the situation. Didn't say it was the best situation for him to be in, but he needed to take advantage of it. At least four of the books that we have in the Bible, watch this, were written by Paul while he was in prison. Paul refused to sit around and mope. That's why when you wake up on that morning and you get to talking to yourself and asking yourself, am I going to church? Some of y'all had that conversation this morning. And before you pick up the phone or text that one person that you need to just stand in covenant with you, you going to church? Because if you going, then I go. But if you're not going, praise the Lord. I just got confirmation. Be careful. Be careful. Don't just sit around and mope. It happens not just on Sunday. It happens every day you get up and got to go to that J-O-B. Young folk, I know it's summertime, but every day you in school, you're trying to figure out how you can catch a cold and not be in school. But I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be negative, but here's the problem. For people who sit around and they mope, Paul didn't say, poor me, okay? Because often lonely people, and I don't mean to be negative, but lonely people often don't take care of themselves. Lonely people don't eat right, they don't exercise, and they ignore their personal needs. They just let themselves go. Because in their mind, they feel like, well, nobody cares anyway. But Paul said back in verse 13, I hope you didn't close your Bible, he said, bring my coat and my books, especially the parchments. And in essence, he's saying, I'm going to capitalize on this lack of interruption. I'm in prison, don't want to be here. But I'm going to capitalize on this lack of interruption, and I'm going to use it for writing and some study time. Maximize and utilize his time no matter what his situation was. Don't ever forget Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Walk in God's strength. In other words, walk in God's power and you can make it through. The last thing I want you to see from this very verse, verse 17, is glorify. But what are you glorifying? Glorify God's deliverance. Take that note. Glorify God's deliverance. Now here's some, I'm going to give you all this for free, okay? Y'all don't have to, listen, there's no second offering or third offering y'all need to raise for this. All right? But watch the text. Paul said, I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Now, you've probably read it before. I've read it before. But Alan, it struck me. Because as I studied and prepared for the message, even prior to this week, I looked over this portion of 17, and here's what I had to ask my question, Sister Stephanie. I had to ask myself, what is the lion that's being spoken of here? Now, with all due respect, I heard you all were wrestling over some stuff this morning, and I was thinking to myself, we got to get to the nugget. Because in my mind, I'm thinking when I read this, Byron, is it a real lion? Or is it something else? Now, some would say that it is a real lion with teeth. Okay? Others would say that it was Nero. Who was Nero? Nero was the ruler at that time. Teach, Holy Ghost. But here's what I'll say when somebody asks me the question. Well, who do you think it was, Pastor King? I'm going to say, I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here and opine with you about this. And I'm not even going to argue you up one side and down the other. But here's what I do know. That regardless of whether it was a real lion or political powers of Paul's day, the truth of the matter is this. Paul was rescued. Amen. Come on, somebody. You just missed it. He was rescued. In other words, he was saved. He was delivered from some powers that could tear him to pieces. That's it. That's all we need to know. And as I get ready to close, I need to speak this in your spirit right now. Loneliness can do that very thing to you. It can tear you apart. It can tear you to pieces. It can eat you alive. But God can and God will rescue you. For somebody here right now, to the sound of my voice, as long as you breathe in, there's hope, and you need to know that deliverance is here from you. God can and God desires to save you. I've simply come to let somebody know that there really is hope. Folk want to know, does this Christianity thing work? The problem is because when too many people look at us, too many of us don't look like that it's working for us. And there are people who are struggling, and we all got struggles, but there are people who want to at least see hope. They want to at least see some healing. Sometimes the only way they're going to know that some folk have been healed is through your testimony. We are living testimonies that God has rescued us. Listen, you can have hundreds, even thousands of Facebook friends. You can have Instagram or Twitter followers. And you can still be lonely. You can be in a crowd, hundreds of thousands of people, and you can still be lonely. But for somebody, I just need you to know, I want you to recognize that God is there. I want you to maximize and utilize God's strength. And I want you to glorify God's deliverance. And I want you to stand to your feet. There's a prayer that I found, and I pieced it together as the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I'm going, you can just read it. You don't have to read it out loud, because for somebody, this might be your prayer. But I'll read it and I want you to read along. And for somebody, you may be saying, this is not your issue. But remember, God may want to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. So you still got to get the word. You still got to get the teaching, because you don't want to be saying, I don't know, when folk come to you and you are a child of God. Dear God, I feel alone. I feel lost. I feel abandoned. I feel trapped. Find me, Lord. Pull back the wreckage of my life so that I can breathe again. Embrace me, Lord. Cover my wounds with your healing love so that I might stand restored. Cut the chains, Lord. Release me from the weights that drag me down. Come bring your freedom and hope. I'm desperate, yet I seek you, God. The one who conquered the darkness, the one who rose from death, the one who said, follow me. I feel lost, yet I'm found in that light. I feel abandoned, yet you are beside me. I feel trapped, yet you call me to freedom. I feel desperate, yet you lead me to peace. I draw near to you, Lord Jesus. I know you are alive in all I experience. Please bring the warmth of relationship into my life. Please cover my thoughts with hope. Please send your love into my heart as I connect with the world around me. I give thanks for all those who love me, for all those who care. Help me to receive your hope in my heart, to embrace your life flowing in mine. I know I live and breathe as part of your family and dwell safely in you. I know you understand me. I know I am not alone and do not have to feel lonely. Christian Survival Training 101, that's how you're going to intend to live from the day going forward. Biblical principles for how to overcome loneliness. So who's in? The doors of the church are open. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of the church are open. If you have come into this place.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.